Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Hope you're having a great start to your Friday. We've made it to the weekend. The weather is gorgeous out there. Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. Brandon back there. Everybody having a good time today. What's up, Nick?
Howdy. I mean, waking up bright-eyed and bushy-tailed around 4 a.m., feeling great. I don't know why I woke up so early.
Yeah, I was about to say, do you usually wake up at 4 a.m.?
Yeah, I mean, my brain is just all wonky, but yeah, I like waking up early. I try to get an exercise in before I do things, so yeah.
I'm gonna instill some wisdom with you as you get older. And I mean, I'm in my mid-30s. I don't consider myself old, but, you know, your body changes. And so, for me, I get up at around 4 a.m. because I have to pee.
That's what it is. Yeah.
So,
well, hey, that's great. Great words of wisdom, because tomorrow is I'll be turning 25. So
tomorrow's
yeah.
your birthday?
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Nick Frazier, ladies and gentlemen. Wish him a happy birthday today as we go out throughout the show. 615-737-1025. That is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. A lot to get into, because the Titans obviously wrapped up their joint practices with the Minnesota Vikings. They will play them in preseason game number two. Who all is going to play at quarterback? That is kind of a question that we'll try to answer today. Nashville SC hosting the League's Cup final against Inter Miami and Lionel Messi at Geodis Park. You could basically sell your house to get a ticket, from what I understand. Your car probably won't get it done at this point, but we will talk about all of that. And then one of my favorite things, high school football. Has officially begun. There were some games last night, and then tonight is the full slate. I even think there's some games tomorrow. So we will talk some high school football as well. But, you know, starting things off with the Titans, and I noticed this, and Teron brought it up this morning and yesterday afternoon, and then I noticed it when I was listening to Mike Vrabel, that he's been a little more forthcoming when it comes to injuries. Because used to, like, if a guy got hurt, and you're like, hey, you know, you could sit there and go, hey, we just saw his leg get twisted around his head. Could you tell us how he's doing? We don't talk about that. You know what I mean? Basically pull the Belichick. And it's like, okay, well, we clearly saw it, so, you know, we know something was going on. But he did provide an update on Treylon Burks. And, you know, the reports are that it's certainly not what everybody thought it was going to be. It's a sprained LCL. That's according to reports. Vrabel didn't say that, but here was his update on Burks.
Any update on
Treylon? No, I mean, I don't think it's going to be a long-term thing. There's no structural damage, and, you know, anticipating him, you know, being back, you know, again, I'm not putting a timeline on it, but I think that it was a best-case scenario.
Okay, so he says he's not putting a timeline on it, and I'm fine with that. I actually think that's a smart move, because if you say, hey, he's going to be out 2 to 3 weeks, you get to that 2-week window, he's going to be asked every day, hey, is Treylon close to coming back? And he'll, you know, just drive you nuts, because he'll get in a bad mood and he'll drive him nuts and all those things. So I get it. Don't put a timeline on it. That's fine. But I think it was good that he was a little more forthcoming on that and calling it best case scenario. And that's what we were saying yesterday, that the fact that there's no tear and there's no structural damage, you know, he could hypothetically be back for the season opener against the Saints, or at worst, maybe week two. I mean, I'd take that all day long. You know,
would you rather have him sit out week one?
If he's not 100%, yes.
Okay.
Like I can get by in week one if he's not 100%. I would rather get that thing where it's like a doctor looks at it, goes, yep, he's cool. No chance of re-injury. You know, that's what I want to hear. Teron Davenport, Titans NFL Nation reporter from ESPN, was on Robbie and Rex Road earlier today and brought that up with Vrabel in the best case scenario, and also gave an update on Burks.
Like, if you really want to look at an LCL sprain and say best case scenario, that could be like 2 weeks. You know what I mean? Like, how literally should we take that?
Yeah, I think what he said, and usually he doesn't really talk about injuries. Right. He did say his standard, not going to put a timeline on it. And, you know, the report is 3 to 4 weeks. But I think when you use the words best case scenario, you use the word relieved. I think those are the type of things to make you have a positive outlook on what it was. I mean, look, I remember back in I think it was 97, Jerry Rice, right? He had a similar type of fall. He came right down on that knee, and he, you know, dislocated kneecap and ACL, and it was a bunch of stuff. So that could have been the case. They just had a sprained LCL in this, so I think it is something to look at. Hey, look, that is a best-case scenario. He's going to get hurt. You know, the injury happened, but it wasn't as bad to where it cost him the full year, and he's going to rehab, and I would imagine they expect him back before the season opener.
So there you go. So Teron says that they could expect him back before the season opener, which would be fantastic if that is the case. If he can come back. But again, as I said, I don't want them to force him back in there if he's truly not ready. And that's where you're going to need somebody in this receiving corps to step up and kind of try their best to fill those shoes while he's out. I mean, that's easier said than done, right, Nick?
Yeah. Filling the shoes of a top tier wide receiver like Treylon Burks. I mean, yes, there's still so much to prove from him, but just what he did this past offseason and in training camp, what he has shown, it's going to be tough to fill the shoes like that.
Yeah, so hopefully that, you know, it's a quick recovery. Vrabel did go on to say that he is still with the team. He did not come back to Nashville yet. I don't know if he'll stay for the game or come back and start rehabbing or what the plan is there, but he did say yesterday that he was with the team, and so that, you know, I think that's good for morale. You know, the fact that it's a best-case scenario, that he's not going to miss significant amount of time, and he's around his teammates, that is certainly going to, you know, to be good for morale. Vrabel went on to discuss how Burks has just handled the whole situation.
You get really close with these players. I don't know if you got to speak to him, but how's he handled?
Well, I think relieved. You know, I think when you have that type of thing and you feel something and you just, I think, relieved, and, you know, we'll rehab him, and I know he'll work hard to get back, and when he's ready to come back out, he'll help us.
And he will, and they need him to. They need him to come out and be the guy that they drafted in the first round when they traded A.J. Brown and be that 1-2 punch with DeAndre Hopkins. And if that's the case, then my thing is, like, in watching the last 2 days or reading reports of the last 2 days and seeing some clips and everything and then talking to people that have been there, Gentry Estes is going to join us at 10:30, so we will talk to him. He has been there. But putting that together with the fact that the defense, this looks like it's going to be a top-tier defense in the National Football League. You said it yesterday. You think they're going to be the best defense?
Elite. They'll be elite. Top five in every category.
Yeah. And so, I mean, look, I think that's very much possible. If that's the case, and then the offense can be competent and put up 3 touchdowns a game, I think that they're going to be right there in contention for the division and winning some games.
Yeah. I like those tough games like a Cincinnati or a Kansas City. Yeah, Kansas City, you may not hold them to 2 touchdowns or sure, maybe Cincinnati, but if you can hold them to about 3 touchdowns in those 2 games, the Titans' defense will definitely pick up the slack, and it will get to the point where this defense will be, I don't want to say taking over the show, but yeah, they will be kind of, you know, taking the limelight away from the offense for the most part.
Well, and the good news is you wouldn't have to worry about Kansas City until the playoffs. You know, Cincinnati's the only team, the only elite team, I would say, that you have to worry about in the regular season, and it's going to be here.
Right.
So that, you know, because you're playing a second-place schedule, I mean, toughest games are Cincinnati, Baltimore in London, at Pittsburgh, I think, is going to be a tough one.
Denver as well, right?
The who?
Denver?
No.
No.
I don't have Denver. At Miami could be a tough one, and then the Jacksonville games. But Seattle's kind of a wild card. I don't really know what Seattle is on Christmas Eve. So, like we have been saying, the schedule is definitely favorable to the Titans, and that's why you need to have that 1-2 punch. The scary part is, and this should be really scary, is while I like the defense, I think they can be an elite defense, they're not very deep. And so if you get some key injuries, then you're kind of screwed. And you know, same goes for the offense. I mean, we're seeing it right now with receiver. Like, okay, I feel pretty good about DeAndre Hopkins and Traylon Burks. Oh, Burks gets hurt. Now what? You know? So it's the depth that worries me. And that's where it's going to be a process with Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel to replenish that depth as they go along. Speaking of, we've been talking about three quarterbacks. Well, it looks like one might be hurt. What does that mean for preseason? What does that mean for Saturday against Minnesota? We'll discuss that coming up next. You can weigh in on anything that we're talking about, 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Join 1025 and 1063 The Game at Door Jam tomorrow, celebrating Vanderbilt sports at the David Williams Recreation Center. The fun kicks off at 2 and will include autograph sessions, photo booths, and lawn games, and also a live version of the Commodore Hour. Head out there and support Vanderbilt Athletics as fall sports returns in just a few weeks. Here on 1025, 1063, The Game.
If Will isn't able to go Saturday, is Ryan maybe going to get some work, or will it be fully the whole way?
We'll let you guys know on Saturday.
There you go, Mike Vrabel. That's the old school Vrabel. Yeah, we'll let you know. Will you, though? Do you really want to?
Nah.
Chase McKay, 1025, 1063, The Game. Nick Frazier hanging out as well. We'll talk to Chris Sanders, forever Titans wide receiver, at the bottom of the hour. And so, yes, Will Levis did leave practice yesterday. He went inside, and Vrabel acknowledged that. And so if he can't go on Saturday, is it going to be the Malik Willis show? Now, I was texting TD this morning because I understand that they want to get Malik Willis and Will Levis as many reps as possible in camp. I get that, 100%. But if you know you're not going to play Ryan Tannehill in the preseason, why would you not bring in a fourth quarterback to be that camp quarterback that everybody knows he has no shot of making the team and he's going to get cut and he's probably not even going to be on the practice squad at this point. But you bring in a fourth guy. Because right now, if Will Levis can't play at all, then Malik Willis is the only quarterback and you don't even have a backup. So are you going to designate somebody to be the emergency quarterback as the backup? Are you going to dress Ryan Tannehill to be the backup? Like, what are you going to do? Is Mike Vrabel going to call Tom Brady and say, hey, Tom, you want to come back up Malik Willis for a preseason game? Come out of retirement, help me out, do me a solid? Like, like, what are they going to do? Like, this is, I've been thinking about this since yesterday of, like, I'm sure they have a plan that they're not going to share with us until they absolutely have to, but this is kind of where they're at right now. But Teron Davenport again was on Robbie and Rex Road this morning, gave an update on Will Levis.
From what I understand, it's a lower body injury. I don't have any specifics on what it was. Paul Kaharski had first found that out, and then I was able to confirm it. And they're basically going to see if he could go on Saturday. And if he can't, it looks like it's going to be the Malik Willis show. And this is a great opportunity for Willis to show that he could have the operation of a full game down pat. There was a little bit of an issue yesterday in the one-minute period where, you know, he has to remember, you know, how things work after a dead ball foul. You know what I mean? So you got to remember that the clock starts on the ready, and you know, you can't get to delay a game like he did last Saturday. So Willis, for me, you know, it's just an opportunity just to show the operation. But obviously, he has to go out there and make some plays, and I think he could do that. And just being able to get into a full rhythm, I think, will be really good as opposed to rotating series.
So last year when we saw Malik Willis in the preseason, we saw him improve from game one to game two to game three. You could tell that he was taking the coaching and applying that. So I kind of feel like that's going to be the case here. And in some ways for him and his development, if he does have to play the whole game, I think that's good too, because you're getting him a full game to get film on. At the same time, you know, when we sit here and we have this conversation of a quarterback competition for the backup spot, to me, it's already been leaning Malik Willis. I think he's been the better one of the two in training camp. And if Levis can't even play tomorrow, then I'm not going to say that it's over, But I'm going to say that the likelihood of Will Levis starting third on the depth chart at the beginning of the season is looking more and more likely, because Malik Willis has outplayed him, and the fact that he's going to get a full game and Levis can't even go. So that, to me, is the most interesting part of this scenario. But I do wonder if they're going to try and fly somebody in to be a backup and, you know, probably won't play, but just to have that safety blanket. Now, they'd have to make a corresponding roster move. I mean, there's a lot of things that kind of go into that. Or if Levis, it's like, okay, he can dress. If he has to go in, he can. He probably shouldn't go in, you know, but we'll probably find that out, you know, before the game tomorrow. But, you know, even yesterday and the day before, we were seeing Malik Willis get more reps than Will Levis. In fact, Mike Vrabel actually discussed that when asked about Levis's reps.
Has it looked like Will has gotten a lot of opportunity out here? Like, just kind of situations being that number three guy, how difficult is it to...
Well, he got the same amount of reps as Malik up until the 2 minute. I did 2 minute over here yesterday. So when Malik was going, Will did that. And the plans were to have him go today. But, you know, they took him in, and we'll see where he's at for the game on Saturday.
So that's, you know, kind of his update there. But I feel like they've been leaning towards Willis right now because, again, like I said, he's been playing better. And so if that continues to be the case, I'm not – now, let me say this and listen to this, people, because there's going to be some of you that if the depth chart comes out and number eight is third on it, everybody's going to freak out and go, oh, it's a busted pick. They traded up. Oh, no, what do we do? Come on. In the words of Aaron Rodgers, relax. It's his rookie year, and it's fine. He doesn't have to be the backup right now. I would not worry about that one iota if he doesn't get the backup job. In fact, I think it could be better for him at points, because he can stand there and he can learn and he can watch, and that is okay. So I'm not going to lose any sleep over Will Levis not even being the backup.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I would rather it's just me speaking, but I would rather him start on the injury reserve list so he doesn't play at all this year and just bring in a third quarterback and let him sit back.
Well, I don't know if I want to do that, but, you know, I mean, I think getting practice reps and things like that would be good. So I don't necessarily want to see him on IR, but...
Does that mean he can't practice, correct?
Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay, if he's on IR, he's
redacted statement.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. So, like, I don't want any, you know, PUP or IR or anything like that. But, you know, if he's third on the depth chart, then let him practice and get reps when he can, and let Willis be the backup. So that's kind of how I feel. Let's go to the phone, 615-737-1025, if you want to call or text. Cameron says, do we really think Burks will ever be the guy at this point? He has shown no evidence of that on the field, and he's constantly out hurt. I think it's a small sample size based on 1 year, and, you know, people keep going back to he's always hurt. The injuries are, you know, just bad luck, I think. I mean, the concussion he got, he was making an incredible catch and scored a touchdown and got a concussion. I mean, that he was making a play. So to me, that kind of contradicts your statement, Cameron, because on a play in which he was injured, I mean, I think he was showing why he can be the guy, because he's willing to go in and make a play like that. Again, it's flashes. I need to see it all put together, but I still think it's too early to really write him off, you know, one way or the other. Now, if this year he misses half the games because of injury, and then the games that he does play, he's, you know, not really showing you a whole lot, then okay, then that's a different conversation. But I'm not ready to have that conversation yet.
Yeah, I mean, you've been at training camp over at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park. You know what Treylon Burks looks like from last year to this year. I mean, there is a complete difference, correct?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he looks bigger. He looks more confident. I think he looks the part right now. Wes in Clarksville, if Levis can't play, does Malik play the whole game? I mean, I would say so. I think that's probably going to be the plan. Unnamed texter, how worried are you about the offensive line, and how is Andre Dillard doing? I don't hear his name much in camp. I feel like if he was doing good, we would hear it. And if I do hear it, it's because he's getting whipped. Yes, I'm worried about the offensive line. I'm going to continue to be worried about the offensive line until I see otherwise in an actual game. We've talked about Dillard quite a bit on this show, and I've heard it on other shows too, because I think he is the focal point because he's the left tackle. The left tackle is the most important position on the offensive line in terms of protecting the quarterback. And I think he's been okay. I don't think he's been great. I think he's been okay. I think that's probably the best way for me to put it right now. So time will tell on that. Another texter, the lack of depth on the Titans goes back to the failures of J-Rob. I mean, I do think there's some truth to that. You know, think about this. And I was thinking about this the other day. You talk about the offensive line. If Isaiah Wilson, which is a late first-round pick, but still a first-round pick who played four snaps, and now isn't even in the league. That's a monumental bust. But if that hits, and he's serviceable, he's on this team right now. So Dylan Raidens, a second round pick, is hurt. But when we've seen him play, he sucks. That's a miss. If that hits, he's on the, you know, and not hurt. I mean, that's two key pieces of your offensive line. So. I agree with that. I think J-Rob had a lot of good things, and then he had some misses that they're currently paying for. So I think that's totally fair.
Not to mention Caleb Farley as well.
Caleb Farley is a big one. Justin and Greenbrier, happy birthday, Nick Frazier. So depth is the name of the game. I'm thankful Burke's injury happened now, and hopefully he doesn't get any more. If this team can shake the dreaded injury bug, how good can they be with the defense and a serviceable offense? I mean, I said it to start the show, Justin. I think that if they can put all that together and the offense can be serviceable, like you said, and this defense can be elite or close to elite, then I think they have a chance to win this division and potentially win some games in the playoffs. I'm not ready to say Super Bowl by any means. I mean, the offense is going to have to surprise us. If the defense is elite or close to elite, and the offense goes from to better than good, then we could be having a different conversation. Yeah. But I gotta see that. It got a long way to go.
Yeah, I mean, for me, this is it. If the defense can carry the offense for majority of the season, and you can somehow keep DeAndre Hopkins and when Treylon Burks comes back, keep both of those guys healthy on offense, and they can go somewhat deep, possibly past the second round in the playoffs, then that's a successful season, in my opinion. So, wouldn't go that far into the realm of possibility, but that's where I'm looking at.
Indy Ben, who always has to weigh in, LOL at Carthon passing on Levis in round one and then taking a flyer on him in round two and saying they fully believe he's their future. He won't see the field until at least 2025, as I expect Tannehill back as the starter in 2024. Vrabel doesn't want to rebuild with Levis. Well, I will say this, Indy Ben. Carthon didn't draft Will Levis without Mike Vrabel's blessing. That was a collaboration. So I think that you gotta keep that in mind. I do agree that I think there's a chance Tannehill could be back. I wouldn't be shocked either way by that, but we will see. We'll ask Chris Sanders, Forever Titans wide receiver, when he joins us. Coming up next, get his thoughts on Treylon Burks, Will Levis, and everything going on with joint practices in the second preseason game. That's here on Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
You're a regular Rip Van Winkle, aren't you?
Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chris Sanders joins us now. Lionel Richie.
Oh man!
81 in your programs, number one in your hearts. What's up, Chris?
How you doing, Chase? Man, it's a great day to be alive. We got Friday Night Football. The Titans are playing Minnesota. I'm on with my friend Chase. Let's go, baby!
I am excited. I am excited. You know, before we get started, I was thinking about this because we were getting you on the phone, and I yell, "What up, 81?" So does number 81 for NBA? Does he get like his own locker room? Does he get a special chair? Like, what's the treatment of wearing 81?
Hey, if you get 81, you get your own seat, just like you have your own couch. You have snacks up at the top. You get Gatorade. You have Coca-Cola. That's the perks of getting number 81. So absolutely, that's why you should get 81.
I love it. Hey, let's start with number 16, sure. Treylon Burks for the Titans. Best case scenario, according to Mike Vrabel, the reports are it's a sprained LCL, so no structural damage. And it looks like he's only going to miss a few weeks. I know some people like have been texting us and saying they're worried. Okay, he gets hurt a lot. To me, I mean, this is just it's a part of football.
Yeah.
But how can he overcome this and continue to hopefully have a great season?
I mean, I think he can because I that's just kind of go back to, you know, when he first came into the league, he came in out of shape and, you know, he came in and he got hurt and he overcame the adversity. So now you got a situation that's a little different to where he got hurt and he has to face adversity. But I think it's going to make him stronger. It's going to make him hungry. And I think that, you know, he's going to come out better than he was before because, you know, you really root for this kid because he came in with the back against his wall and everybody was kind of disappointed when he came in. But I think now everybody gained the trust in him because the way he worked, the way he, practiced, the way he gained the trust of his quarterback and his teammates. So even though it's a setback, it's a setup for something great. So I think he's going to come back stronger.
I do too. And I just feel like the mental part of it,
that's
the tough part because it's like now it's in your head of, man, I got another setback. And so how would you coach the mental part of this?
You know, the mental part of it is I would surround myself with people that can help me through when I have those tough times. Because a lot of times we look at the outward part to where when he's getting an interview and he's smiling and laughing. But you need people around you when nobody's looking at you, when the lights are not on. To where like Mike Vrabel or Rand Carthon or, Hopkins or some of the receivers can call him and say, hey, man, I know you're going through rehab. I know you're going through a tough time. But just to let you know, I'm here for you. Because the thing about it is he can't do this by himself. Because a lot of times when we go through situations or setbacks or something that holds us back or we go through a trial of tribulations, the one thing we do is we try to isolate ourselves. And that's where mentally we get in trouble. So what you want to do is, what Treylon Burks needs to do is surround himself with his wife, surround himself with his parents, surround himself with people that are going to encourage him in those dark times.
Chris Anders is with us, forever Titans wide receiver. And speaking of wide receivers, now is an opportunity for somebody else to step up.
Yeah.
And I've been saying it the last few days, Chris, that I like what Reggie Roberson has been doing. You know, I like Kyrus Jackson, what he's been doing in training camp. But nobody has reached up and grabbed that proverbial brass ring and run with it. And that's what I'm waiting for. To me, this is an opportunity for somebody to do that.
Oh, absolutely, because the thing is you definitely want to show up on film because if you look at last week, we really didn't pass the ball that much. There really wasn't that much explosive plays. But I agree with you, Chase, that, you know, this is a perfect opportunity for a guy to go out and make plays. Just like you said, you got Roberson, you got NWI, you got Ray Sibbemans, you have Kyle Phillips, you have Chris Moore. But it's just a guys that are lumped together that are just making plays. But which guy's going to make that special play? Which guy's going to take a slant, take a hitch, or do something that makes you go like, wow, that's what's going to separate for you being in a third position or that fourth position or even actually you making a team.
If I'm ranking the receivers right now, and I want you to tell me if you agree with this or not.
Okay.
I'm doing my ranking, obviously Hopkins and Burks, one, two, in whatever order you want to put them in. So you can put them to the side. I'd go Phillips.
Yep.
I'd go Moore.
Ooh.
I would go Roberson.
Ooh.
And then by an eyelash, I'd go NWI.
Yeah. Ooh, that's – I love the list. Just like you said, I like the first two is Burks, you know, Hopkins. But my third – just like my third would be Phillips. But this is just my opinion. I may be biased. I would go Roberson fourth.
Okay.
And the reason why I say Roberson fourth is because he has so much upside. He's still young. Chris Moore has been in the league for a couple of years. And – He's played solid, but it hasn't really been spectacular. I look at Reggie Roberson and the things that he's doing. I mean, he's been consistent from day one. This year, when I say this year, day one. You know, I know last year he had a setback with his knee, but he looks explosive. He's making the plays. He's not making mistakes, and he has the potential to make that play downfield to take the top off the defense. When he was at SMU, when he played with my son CJ. CJ said, man, Daddy, he's one of the best receivers that I've been around. And when CJ said that, I'm listening. So I got Reggie Roberson fourth, and then I got fifth. I got Chris Moore, and then I got sixth. I got Ray Sibbemans. No, I'm sorry, Harrison, and then Ray Sibbemans.
Okay. All right. I mean, look, they have, you know, Treshawn Harrison, like you mentioned, Gavin Holmes, Kyrus Jackson, they have a good problem right now. But like
yes,
I said,
do.
One of these guys has to step up. Will Levis leaves practice yesterday, and Vrabel was mum on whether he'd be able to go Saturday or not. He was asked, okay, well, if he can't go, does that mean we could see Tannehill? I think it's going to be the Malik Willis show on Saturday.
Yep.
And that's his opportunity to grab that backup job.
I think it is outstanding. I mean, I'm not saying outstanding that Will Levis got hurt, but I think it's a great opportunity for Malik Willis to get reps, to get experience. Because if you look at last year, Willis didn't have enough time to get experience to get into the game. Because last year when they played the Kansas City Chiefs, he was thrown into the fire, so he didn't have experience with reps. He didn't have experience with understanding the coverages with the defense. He didn't have that opportunity. This is a great opportunity for him to get a lot of experience, how to lead a team, how to do a two-minute drill, how to, you know, set the front when the safety's blitzing, how to get hit in the mouth and come back and make an explosive play. Those are the things that I want to see. And if you look at last week, which I'm so pumped up about, even though he made some mistakes, even though he made a couple of wrong reads, he looked like a different quarterback. He looked poised. He looked confident. He was throwing the ball where the ball should have been. So now he's got a whole game to prove to Rand Carthon, to prove to Mike Vrabel, to prove to Charles London, the quarterback coach, that if Ryan Tannehill goes down, you can trust me. So that's why I love this situation that's going on right now.
Chris, would you consider it a setback if Levis is third on the depth chart to start the season, or does that really matter at this point?
I don't think it really matters, and this is just my opinion. I may be wrong, but I think Will Levis is playing better Malik Willis is playing better than Levis. That's just my opinion.
Right.
I think he's playing better. I really do. And I'm not saying that to be biased or anything, but just looking at how, you know, Will Levis came back from last year. I keep saying Will Levis. Malik Willis played last year to now. He looks like a totally different person. Then now you got Levis that's playing okay. He's playing consistent in time. But then the next practice, he throws three interceptions. I think Malik Willis is playing better.
I do too, and so I'm curious to see it. If Willis gets the whole game tomorrow, how that looks.
Right. Yeah.
Chris Andrews is with us. The defense really showed out against Minnesota. And Nick Frazier behind the glass has said he thinks they can be elite this year, top five in every category. What about you?
I absolutely believe this. I mean, you look at last year, their defense was already good. You had Simmons, you had Archer, you got Weaver, but then now you added a guy that brings so much energy as Arden Key. I mean, I know everybody's about Simmons being the leader of that defense. Just looking at the defense and surveying what's going on, I think Arden Key is the leader of that defense. He brings energy, he brings a tenacity, he brings a sense of funness, and he's coachable. So when you have that type of defense, you have that type of front, a team that's fast, physical, and all those things that you want in the defense, I'm not just saying they'd be a top five defense. In my opinion, if this front plays like they've been playing, I think they could be the number one defense in the league. That's just my opinion.
Well, and so if they are and the offense is serviceable, where do you think that can take the Titans?
Man, I think it can take them far. I mean, I may not say Super Bowl, but I think that they'll go deep into the playoffs. Because if you look at 1999, when we went to the Super Bowl, our defense was flat out nasty. We had Josh Evans. We had a lot of leaders on that defense. And if you look at that, our offense wasn't the best in the league. But we always talk about that defense wins championships. So even though our offense wasn't playing well, even though we struggled at times, our defense consistently kept us in the game. That's the same thing with the Tennessee Titans. They may not score 30 points a game, but if their defense are getting takeovers, their defense are getting strip sacks, if their defense is putting the offense in position with a short field to make some plays, I think you got a recipe for success because your defense is playing so well.
And I 100% agree with you. The only thing that I'm worried about is it kind of similar to what happened to you guys in 99. You know, Marcus Robertson got hurt. Blaine got knocked out in the Super Bowl. I mean, it's the depth. And that's what I'm worried about when it comes to the Titans in this defense is the depth.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it is the depth. Because the thing about it is you look at last year when different guys were down with Simmons, you know, the defense kind of struggled. But then you got a secondary that, you know, we're not deep in that area. I mean, I know we got Byard. I know we got McCrary. I know we got Christian Fulton. I know we go guys like that. But what if one of those guys can get hurt? Who do you have? That's the scary part. I agree with you 100%, Chase. It's the depth of the defense, not the quality of the defense.
Chris, there is a crisp in the air. It's supposed to be nice tonight.
Oh.
On West End, NBA, Pearl Cone. High school football is here. I'm excited. I think this is going to be a really good game.
It is, man. I mean, we got a great team coming in. We play them every year, which is Pearl Cone. Coach Benetti's a fine coach in this city. It's going to be a barn burner. They're fast. They're physical. They're strong. They got the fastest speed in America. But just like Ray Charles, man, we gotta make it do what it do, baby. We gotta go out there, play football, have fun, and just enjoy the atmosphere. I'm telling you something, man. I don't know if y'all can kind of feel what I'm feeling right now. I am so stinking excited. I'm tired of camp. I'm tired of 2-a-days. I'm tired of drinking Gatorade. I'm tired of all that stuff. Let's go play the game, baby.
It's going to be awesome, and your rival Brentwood Academy hosts CPA tomorrow, which I think is going to be a good game. So,
no, the game of the week is Lipscomb at IMG.
Yeah, no, you're right. That is going to be a good one too. So there's a lot on the schedule tonight and tomorrow as high school football officially kicks off. Chris, good luck tonight with the Big Red. Thanks so much for doing this. We'll talk next week.
Always love you, bro. Appreciate it. Take care.
Bye-bye. See ya, Chris Sanders. Forever Titans wide receiver, number 81 in your programs, but number one in your hearts. Always enjoy talking to him. He joins us every Friday at 9:30. Speaking of high school football, we'll highlight some big games on the schedule. Coming up next, Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. High school football is here. We're broadcasting live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. And hey, you know what else? We are your racing station. 102.5, 106.3, The Game is your home for NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday for the Go Bowling at the Glen at 3 p.m. NASCAR, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, presented by O'Charlie's, the road course up there in New York, as the Cup Series will be there. But high school football tonight and a ton of games going on around our area. And, you know, if you have nothing to do tonight, looking for something, go support your local high school. You know, I heard Rex Rowe talking about Nolensville. That's obviously his area, the Nolensville Knights, and supporting them. So for, you know, the young men that are going out there and suiting up tonight, you know, this is the best time of your life. Enjoy it. You know, Nick, I know you remember those times and what it was like. And for the seniors doing this for the last year, and for many, for this is it. And you won't put the helmet on again. You know, this is just enjoy it and be safe and have fun. But I think it's going to be a tremendous season of high school football. I mean, obviously, you look at a team like Oakland that continues their dynasty. I was on Fox 17 last night, talking about it, and you know, I think it's fitting that they're the Patriots because they're a dynasty, and what Kevin Creasy has done there, I mean, he took over basically a dynasty, and he's been able to continue it, which that is not an easy thing to do. So they've done an awesome job there in Rutherford County. I think Lipscomb is going to be an interesting one because Trent Dilfer builds that thing to a championship caliber program, and then he leaves to go to UAB. Now Kevin Mawai, former Titan, takes over as the head coach. Can he continue that? Because again, that's not easy to do. You know, Chris mentioned it. You know, Lipscomb at IMG is going to be an interesting one. But you got Brentwood at Blackman tonight. I'm kind of excited about that one. I think Williamson County, Rutherford County, always fun to see that. Franklin Centennial, that'll be another good one. You got Green Hill going to Clarksville Northeast. Green Hill is still a relatively new program there in the Mount Juliet area.
Battle of Franklin Road, Overton and Father Ryan.
Yeah, that'll be a good one. Overton and Father Ryan. Now the other team on Franklin Road, Franklin Road Academy, hosting Kenwood tonight up on the hill. So my alma mater looking to get it done against Kenwood They have a new coach in Justin Geisinger, so that'll be interesting. You mentioned Overton Father Ryan, DCA at Ezel Harding is another one. Fairview on the road against East Hickman should be a good one. Nashville Christian at Davidson Academy, that's another good one out of the private schools.
Alcoa versus Ravenwood.
Yeah.
That'll be a very good one.
That'll be a good one. I mean, Alcoa, a top-tier program. Ravenwood's a top-tier program. Page at Giles County is always a good one. McGavick at Hillsboro. I'm trying to find, let's see, the new Hillwood, that, you know, the Hillwood has moved to, it's changed names, it's moved to Bellevue. Independence is who's playing Oakland tonight. That should be a good one.
Cool high school story about Hillwood. That was the first ever touchdown I had as a varsity man.
Really?
I did, yeah.
Very nice.
I came in, we were using the wing tee, and they fed me the ball 11 times on one drive and 11 yards. I think it was like 11 carries, 69 yards for a touchdown. So, yeah.
Very nice. James Lawson. Here we go. Cheatham County at James Lawson. So that that will be the old Hillwood as they start their new era tonight. Just looking at, I mean, there's a ton of games. So looking at Smyrna at Riverdale, there's an old Rutherford County rivalry that'll be a good one. We are not doing the game blitz this year. I know several have asked about that, but high school football continues to be very important to us here at 1025 The Game. Prep football weekly can be heard on 94.9 The Fan every Monday at 5. So you can check that out, and obviously we'll have a bit of flavor on this show. Is there a game that stands out to you, Nick, that is just that's the one?
I mean, just the history between John Overton High School and Father Ryan. I remember as a kid going to Greer Stadium as like a 4 or 5 year old watching, you know, that game being played in the right field at Greer Stadium. So I mean, it's just the history of that to me. That's kind of what rings to my bell, but. I don't know. Alcoa has been a phenomenal high school football perennial team.
Oh, yeah.
And so one of my former football, he transferred midway through the season. But, yeah, one of my teammates went to Alcoa his freshman year, and they ended up winning like 4 years in a row. So Alcoa is one of those teams that sticks out to me to watch.
Okay. I like that. I mean, the game of the night to me is the one we were talking to Chris Sanders about, Pearl Cone at NBA. I've loved that series. And they've traded punches back and forth, with that. I think it's great to have, you know, a top tier private school program go up against a top tier metro program. So I really am looking forward to that one tonight. And again, you can, shout out to our friends at Fox 17, Jill Jelnick, Football Frenzy Live tonight. You can see that at 9:30, as she'll go all around the mid-state. Big Joe Dubin going to be a part of that this year, too. So he'll be at a couple of games tonight. So they'll take you around the mid-state, and that's your source for high school football.
Another one to add, CPA versus Brentwood Academy.
Yeah, that's
two
tomorrow.
Two quarterbacks going at it. Yeah,
that's
tomorrow. Be tomorrow.
That's going to be really good. So I think it's going to be an awesome opening weekend of high school football in the mid-state, and hard to believe that next weekend we're talking about high school football and Vanderbilt opening their season.
It's just crazy how football is starting just right on the corner. It's all here. But, you know, as for high school football players, I remember my freshman year all the way to my senior year, there's just something in the air about a home opener. You hear the fans, you hear the student section. Our student section was called the Jungle at the time, but you just hear them play that theme music and you run through the cheerleaders, whatever. They do a little tunnel or whatever it is. Man, there's something about the first kickoff, the crack of the pads. Man, I will say I do miss hitting the crack of the pads.
Oh, I know you do. I forgot to mention, so there was a game last night. Mount Juliet beat Cane Ridge 31-28. I know that was a good game. Max did that game for MyTV 30. So, and he'll be on again tonight. So, going to be an awesome weekend of high school football. It's going to be an awesome weekend of football or soccer here in Nashville as Nashville SC fights for the League's Cup as they'll face Miami and Lionel Messi. We will discuss that next. How you feeling, Nashville? Is everybody in? We'll discuss. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.